Hi, this is the Watersheds at Work podcast brought to you by Tip of the Mint Watershed Council. My name is Corey Elanese, and I'll be your host. For those of you not familiar with the Watershed Council, we are a nonprofit group in northern Michigan dedicated to protecting our pristine waters through education, research, and prevention. For anyone interested in learning more, helping, or donating, please check out our website or give us a call. In this episode, we will talk about the policy side of septic systems with our policy director, Jennifer McKay. We will go over all the different ways that policy and local ordinances matter on what happens with your septic and how it might affect your environment or your community. We will discuss the ways that you can help make changes in policy to better the current regulations that we have. We also have an update on a new bill that just passed and what you can do to help it get enacted. I hope you enjoy. What is it that you do at the Watershed Council, and what does it mean to be a policy director?
As policy director, I lead the development, execution, and evaluation of the organization's policy work to improve water resources protection and serve to ensure that priority positions and local, state, and national advocacy outcomes are effectively achieved. What that basically means is I work with federal, state, and local elected officials and government agencies to enact rules and regulations to better protect our lakes, streams, wetlands, groundwater, and of course our Great Lakes.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jennifer. And so what all goes into a policy for your local water protection?
All of our actions can have direct and oftentimes adverse impacts on natural resources. For this reason, policies have been adopted at the state, federal, and local levels that regulate certain activities to assure that our water resources are not only protected, but improved over time. These policies protect water quality, limit erosion, conserve wildlife and vegetation, and preserve the natural beauty of the region.
Great, that's amazing. Why should people care?
People should care because the water in northern Michigan is the lifeblood of our economy and our way of life.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. I mean, it's everything that we use. It's beautiful up here. It's pristine. Yeah, I can understand. Protecting it as much as possible. And so what does changing the policy do for the community?
It protects water quality. It protects erosion. So it protects property values. It conserves all of our wildlife and vegetation and just the overall natural beauty of the region, which is why everyone comes to visit and or live in northern Michigan.
Yeah, definitely. So what's the process with changing policy at a local and state level when it comes to these ordinances and different things in northern Michigan?
Changing policy is actually a very long and complex process, whether it's at the local or state level. Before a policy can be created, a problem must exist that is called to the attention of the government. Then comes policy analysis, which is the process of identifying potential policy options that could address the problem, and then comparing those options to choose the most effective, efficient, and feasible one. Once the problem and solution have been identified, advocacy occurs. Advocates share data and stories with elected officials, highlighting the implications of the policy to further galvanize lawmakers' interest. It also includes educating elected and government officials on the ways the law, ordinance, or rules could be improved to meet its goal. And along the way, there is stakeholder engagement and education. Very little can be accomplished without a broad base of community or statewide support. After what is often a long, drawn-out process, sometimes taking years, we'll see the enactment or adoption of a policy. Then implementation and evaluation of the implementation must occur to ensure the policy change is achieving its ultimate goal.
That's nice that they have a checks and balances there, but that is a long list of process to go through and make everything happen. So what is the current situation with septic systems in Michigan?
In Michigan, 35% of residents rely on septic systems. This means there are between 1.3 and 1.4 million on-site septic systems throughout the state, and each system generates an average of 300 to 400 gallons of sewage daily. That means on-site systems in Michigan must treat and dispose of more than 455 million gallons of wastewater each day. In northern Michigan, many of us rely on septic systems for wastewater treatment. Michigan is the only state in the nation without uniform standards on how on-site septic systems are designed, built, installed, and maintained. Public health officials in Michigan believe reported septic system failures represent only a fraction of the total number of failures statewide, and many go undetected or remain unreported for years. Michigan State University studies suggest that at least a third of septic systems are not working properly.
Wow, that's so much good data to realize and have awareness for where we're at and all the improvements we need to make with this. And so, what is a septic failure and what are the concerns when a system fails?
There are different definitions of a failure, but it is essentially when the drain field has been hydraulically saturated or the effluent, which is the sewage, is exposed to the surface of the ground, or it's backing up into the structure, your home, or it's draining onto the surface of the ground or into a lake, river, stream, storm sewer, or where the seepage of effluent is endangering a public or private water supply, or where a public health nuisance is created by a system that was improperly constructed or maintained. And a failing or improperly maintained septic system can introduce nutrients, bacteria, viruses, pharmaceuticals, and other pollutants to our lakes, streams, and wetlands. The pollutants found in septic leachate also have the potential to contaminate groundwater. And the impact of the failing septic systems may be especially noticeable in the form of increased plant and algae growth in the nearshore areas, which can make boating and swimming undesirable. It can also make it unsafe for swimming due to disease-causing bacteria, viruses, parasites, and other pathogens.
Wow. That's a lot that can happen to our lakes and things that we might not even see or know that are happening. So good information to have. And so how are septic systems regulated in the absence of a statewide code?
Michigan has local septic codes, which are created by local district health departments in conjunction with township and county governments. These codes typically only regulate installation or failures of septic systems. As a result, most on-site septic systems are never inspected again once installed. However, local governments can provide additional protections through local ordinances. As such, local government is in the best hope for taking action to address local concerns about septic system performance.
Great. And what policy options can local governments consider for septic regulation?
There are a variety of approaches to septic regulation for local governments to consider. They can maintain the status quo, implement a time of transfer inspection ordinance, implement a mandatory pumping ordinance, implement a mandatory inspection ordinance, regulate septic systems within short-term rentals, or even opt for a sewer system. And each of these has their own advantages and disadvantages. For example, maintaining the status quo kind of means doing nothing. While that's the easiest and cheapest option, it allows systems to go uninspected and unmaintained and ultimately fail, resulting in public health and environmental problems. Time of transfer ordinances ensure that septic systems are inspected at the time a lot is sold, informing the buyer of the state of the system and requirements for proper maintenance moving forward. If the system is found to be leaking, improperly operating, or near the end of its effective life, a plan for remediation is normally required, and a follow-up inspection is done to ensure compliance. However, this type of ordinance only applies if the lot is sold, and therefore it misses a lot of properties that are passed down through generations. A mandatory pumping ordinance is designed to prevent septic system failures by making sure everyone pumps tanks within a specific time frame and shows proof of doing so. However, this option can be arbitrary if not scheduled correctly according to the actual use of the property, and pumping too often is not best for the operation of the system. A mandatory inspection ordinance requires inspections to be regularly conducted. The owner is required to do whatever is appropriate for the system based upon that inspection. Repairs are normally required within 60 days, but additional time can be permitted with an agreed-upon plan to help the homeowner solve the problem. We also have short-term rental regulations that are possible, And given that short-term rentals are often on waterfront properties, targeting these properties is a strategic first step in efforts to protect our water resources from septic contamination. Short-term rental regulations can protect against septic system failure by, one, limiting the number of guests based on the septic tank size and the number of bedrooms, or two, requiring homeowners to have a current inspection of the septic system on file. And it's also important to note that septic systems are not the only approach to addressing issues. Many Northern Michigan communities have implemented or expanded central sewer systems. Sewer systems are often established through the implementation of a special assessment district, which is an extremely time-intensive process with very strict procedural requirements.
Wow, that's something that I never understood about septic ordinances, and so thank you for diving into all that. That helps create such a clear picture on what's happening and what can happen if those local ordinances are in place. Are there other places that have enforced septic ordinances, and what is the effect from this? Have they changed in a positive way?
We do have local governments in Michigan that can be looked at to examples of successful implementation, particularly of time of transfer ordinances right here in northern Michigan. Kalkaska and Manistee counties implemented a time of transfer ordinance in 2009. Milton Township followed in 2012, and the Village of Elk Rapids passed its ordinance in 2018. For the Village of Elk Rapids, since 2018, 5 properties have been evaluated prior to the sale or transfer of a property. 2 of those properties were found to be non-compliant under the sanitary code. Since its adoption in 2012, Milton Township has had 366 evaluations performed. In 2020, 46 evaluations were performed, and in 21 of those evaluations, which is almost 50%, the existing sewage treatment and disposal system was found to be undersized for the home. 15 of those were found to have no records of permitting or installation at all. And of the systems where records did exist, the average age of the systems evaluated was 27 years. And the general life expectancy of a septic system is approximately 20 to 30 years. So most of them were at the end of the lifespan. And assuming that the systems without records represent those that were installed prior to the first sanitary code, which was in 1964, the continued operations of those systems would suggest that they are greater than 50 years old. Overall, 23 of the homes evaluated had associated recommendations to extend the life expectancy of the wastewater system. And then in Kalkaska and Manistee counties, they've had 635 evaluations conducted in 2020. Most households had septic systems not in danger of a failure, but had conditions exist that the homeowner should be aware of and monitor. Here, most homes that are undergoing sales have their septic systems corrected before the point of sale evaluation, since they know if it does not pass, then it will put their sale of the home in jeopardy. So therefore, one of the primary advantages of this program is to educate the new owner as to the location, present condition, and needed maintenance of the septic system.
Thank you so much. What is being talked about currently in Lansing about a statewide septic bill?
Very exciting news. Just today, Friday, April 28th, we had State Representative Skaggs, Reagans, and the Senate Majority Floor Leader, Singh, introduce legislation to create a statewide septic code, which obviously would help protect water quality across the state. The bill numbers are Senate Bills 0299 and 0300, and House Bills 4479 and 4480. The bills will establish state standards for septic systems, also known as on-site wastewater treatment systems, and require regular inspections of those systems. Inspection results will be maintained by the Michigan Department of Environment, Great Lakes, and Energy. And the bills will establish a technical advisory commission within EGLE to advise the department, legislature, and local health departments on the most current scientific standards for septic tanks.
That's great news. It sounds like that's very exciting. With something like that, is there a set time date that has to be decided upon, or is it open-ended? I'm not exactly sure, but what are your thoughts on that?
We like to see it done by the end of the year. Otherwise, usually bills have to get reintroduced. But at the same point in time, the representatives can reintroduce the same bill.
And so you have worked in the past on trying to get septic bills passed. Do you think this time you will actually be successful?
We are hopeful. Supporters of the legislation come from a variety of stakeholders, including local health departments, the environmental and conservation community, and even realtors. In the end, the devil is in the details, though, and that is what has prevented passage of previous bills and could thwart progress on this package. It's anticipated that there will be work group sessions with stakeholders prior to committee hearings in an attempt to address all those devils in the detail early on, in hopes that once there's a committee hearing, the bill can just progress forward.
Great. Yeah. And so where do you see us being in the future, and what are the goals when it comes to septic regulations?
Well, currently Michigan is uniquely lagging in policies to protect our precious resources from contamination originating from failing septic systems. The goal is to provide baseline, uniform, statewide regulations to ensure wastewater systems are in good working order so Michiganders have access to pristine and clean water. For example, a statewide code can give some assurance to people on the quality control of industry workers like designers, contractors, regulators, and operators of advanced treatment systems. It can require inspections, so we identify any problems before it's too late and they become a failure.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I mean, I can only imagine that saving so much more money when you're updating or cleaning out your septic system than getting a brand new septic system, where it can get pretty pricey. And so if state septic regulations are passed, is there funding for this change, or are there programs, grants, etc., to help pay for the updates?
For the statewide septic system program to be successful, funding needs to be included. Funding needs to be provided for the entities administering inspections, whether that's the local health departments or the Michigan Department of Environment and Great Lakes. But funding also needs to be provided to help homeowners pay for septic system repairs and failures. How much funding will be provided and how it will be allocated are two of the unanswered questions that will need to be addressed as we continue to discuss the bills.
Absolutely, that makes sense. How can the public help get either a local ordinance or a statewide bill to regulate septic systems on the books?
Contact elected officials. Whether it's local or state officials, it's vital that they hear from their constituents and community members about their concerns and what they want to see done. As I previously said, without public support, these bills and ordinances can easily stall. So contact your elected officials, contact them now, contact them during the process, make your voice heard.
Yeah, absolutely. Help get some push behind for the momentum that you need to get these things going. One other thought that comes to mind is, with the ordinances or a lot of this information, do you have just a good recommendation on where to get this information to start learning about it if you don't know anything?
We do have a webpage on the Watershed Council site on septics that has a lot of good background information, also has a publication, just a proper guide to septic maintenance for homeowners, which is extremely valuable. But we will also be providing information on the bills, hopefully providing talking points that can help individuals as they reach out and contact elected officials on the statewide level.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you so much. And so, even without any regulation, what are incentives for people of the community and lake homeowners to properly maintain their septic system?
Proper septic maintenance protects public health and the environment, but it also saves the homeowner money through avoided costly repairs. So it saves you money. Malfunctioning systems can cost anywhere from $3,000 to $10,000 to repair or replace, compared to the maintenance costs of about $250 to $500 every 3 to 5 years. And costs could even be higher, upwards of $20,000, depending on the type of septic tank, type of absorption field, and the size of the septic tank. It protects the value of your home. Malfunctioning systems can drastically reduce property values, hamper the sale of a home, even pose a legal liability. And again, it keeps water clean and safe. It keeps families' drinking water pure and reduces the risk of contaminating community, local, or regional waters. And it also keeps our surface waters safe to swim in and safe to recreate, which, particularly in northern Michigan, that's what we do.
Yeah. Now, one question that comes to mind right now is that, is there any repercussions on people who say something happens or it's noticeable from their house that's leaching directly into the lake or wherever it might be going? Is there any liability on them for that happening?
So depending on the situation, I mean, obviously the health department will come in, but we try and work with homeowners rather than penalize them. But there have been situations where homeowners have had to leave their home because it got so bad.
Wow. Yeah, that is extreme and it's unfortunate. Okay, thank you. If people are having septic issues or have a concern on their lake or area, how do they address it?
Septic system failure does occur. And when it does, it requires prompt action to protect, again, public health and our water resources. The first thing you can do is call the local health department. They'll be able to provide expert advice. They can come out to the property or refer an individual to a septic system professional that can help solve the problems. I would like to point out that a permit from the local health department is required for every repair, replacement, and new construction of a septic system. So always be sure to follow the requirements of the sanitary code and hire only reputable septic system contractors.
Okay, great. Can people get help with fixing their septic system or getting funding to do it?
Right now, homeowners are required to cover septic repairs, but Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer announced in the Michigan Clean Water Plan, which includes $35 million for a low-interest loan program for homeowners replacing failing septic systems. At this point in time, that funding is not able to be obtained. The last I heard, Michigan Saves is applying to be the administrator of that program. But at the same point in time, if you think about the fact that Eagle estimates there are 330,000 failing septic tanks in the state, and even if the costs were relatively low, $10,000 to repair each one, that would amount to $3 billion that we need to ultimately address all the septic failures throughout the state. So $35 million is a great start, but it's also just a drop in the bucket to what we ultimately need.
Yeah, that's great. I feel like you've answered so many questions with this and helped so much on shaping the idea of what's even happening. Like you said, we also have the new bill that just came into play, and so it's nice to have this fresh information. So I appreciate all this, Jennifer, and all your knowledge. To recap this information, and if you could have people take a main point away from this, what would it be?
I think there are three main points. The first is for individuals to make sure their septic systems are properly installed and maintained. It's critical for the protection of our surface and groundwater as well as public health. And we all have a responsibility and play our part ensuring we have clean water and a safe community. So homeowners need to be diligent about proper maintenance. And it's not complicated, and it doesn't need to be expensive. Upkeep comes down to really four key elements. So inspect and pump frequently, every 3 to 5 years. Use water efficiently, properly dispose of waste, and maintain your drain field. Second, in the absence of a statewide code, which we currently are in, local government oversight is the best hope for taking action to address local concerns about septic system performance. Local government is charged with maintaining general health, safety, and welfare, and ensuring the proper maintenance of septic systems is an important part of that work. And lastly, the state of Michigan can hopefully finally enact a statewide septic bill. Given the array of water resources at our fingertips, it really is astonishing that we're the only state without a statewide septic code. So now is the time for the legislature to act and protect Michiganders from the dangers of leaking and failing septic systems.
Great. Thank you so much, Jennifer. You're so knowledgeable on this. I really appreciate you sharing the firm details that you have on this with the public and all the research and answers that you gave. Thanks for joining us for the Watersheds at Work podcast. Be sure to check out our next episode on June 15th, where we will be going over our mobile boat washing station. This episode will be about promoting safe boating practices, whether you're up here on vacation or a local. We want to help teach people on how to prevent unwanted invasive species from getting into the beautiful lakes we have that could create problems for homeowners, cause issues for boater recreation, and harm the environment of the lake. If you're interested in looking for ways to get involved, we have plenty of volunteers coming up in June, like our mobile boat washing events, where you can help us prevent aquatic invasive species, educate boaters, and also get to spend the day on some of Northern Michigan's pristine lakes. It's a fun way to get out and learn something new. We have our first mobile boat washing event at Whitewater Township Park on Elk Lake on June 3rd from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. At each event, we will be giving out free swag like dry bags, fishing lures, and towels to people who get their boat washed, so please feel free to stop by. It's also a free way to get your boat clean for the start of the summer. Our other upcoming boat washing events are the following dates. East Jordan City Boat Launch on June 8th from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. Charlevoix Municipal Boat Ramp on June 9th from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. and Onaway State Park on June 10th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. To register or get more info, go to the events tab on our website. And if you're looking for more ways to get involved with us, check out our social media pages, become a volunteer, or make a donation to help keep our waters clean. And if you ever have any questions, please feel free to send us an email at info@watershedcouncil.org.